Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 31, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. Today's message is titled, Who Through Faith? Hear the word of God from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, and the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning of verse 49. This is Jesus speaking. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Here ends the gospel reading. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning with the St. Jerome prayer from the 4th century. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. When you hear Hebrews chapter 11, the first thing that ought to come to your mind is the phrase, by faith. By faith, as you just heard, by faith is repeated over and over and over throughout Hebrews chapter 11. Now that by faith is the English translation of the Greek. In the Greek, you will find one word, and that word is a noun. And that noun is in the dative tense. Dative tense. In Greek, the dative tense is used for three purposes. One, the indirect object of the verb. Two, how or with what something is done. How or with what something is done. And three, relationship of place, here and time when. In use here in Hebrews chapter 11, the noun pistei, meaning faith, is in the dative tense, expressing the how or what something is done. All that you hear about in Hebrews chapter 11, all that is done, it is how and done by faith. 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 Each of those phrases start with that noun. Faith. Faith is the how. Faith is with the what is in these people. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets. And the number goes on and on. Faith is how they conquered kingdoms. Faith is how they administered justice. Faith is how they gained what was promised. Faith shut the mouth of the lion. Faith quenched the fury of flames. Faith they escaped the sword. Faith turned weakness into strength. Faith powerful in battle, routing foreign armies. Faith received back their dead, raised to life again. This faith, the how of this faith, working enabled them to face jeers, face floggings, face tortures, face being placed in chains, stoned, persecuted, mistreated, wandering in the wilderness, living in caves and holes in the ground with sheepskins and goatskins, destitute. Faith helped them through death by the sword. Faith even helped them when they were sawed in two. This kind of faith, expressed here as witness and testifying by their very lives, is the faith that can be in you too. Yes, the faith that can be in you too. And you can have something even greater faith. For all those that are written about in Hebrews chapter 11 were waiting for the promise. The promise had not come. They were all looking for the promise to come, as is written Hebrews 11 verse 39. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. All of them, they were looking for the promise to come, looking forward with great expectation along with certainty. The promise would come, for the Lord God had said so. In you is faith that is full of the promise that has come. The promise has come. That is Jesus, who is the incarnate Son of God, the crucified and risen Christ the Lord. You know Him by faith. Hebrews 11 begins with the definition of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. That word hope, using the Helps Dictionary study, describes this hope thusly: actively waiting for God's fulfillment about the faith that God has imbirthed in you. So that hope is on the faith being fulfilled that God has placed in you. That hope is in God, actively waiting for God to fulfill. And we have this assurance that assurance, that certainty as assurance. It's like a title which is a legitimate legal claim. Like you have a title to your house, title to your car, title. It's a title. So this assurance, this certainty is really a title. It's a legal claim for what will be coming to you. It's a legal claim guaranteeing what the title states. That's what it means to be sure. Being sure. I hold this title for what is to come. Knowing that God will fulfill what the title states, because God has imbirthed faith in me. With such assurance from faith, that inner conviction takes hold with the focus on God. God has said so, so it will be. I don't have to see it. God has said so, so I know God will do what God said He will do. I know it. God will do what God has said He will do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. That word translated commended, in the Greek, the root word is martyreo, from which we get the word martyr. Martyr means to bear witness, to give evidence, to testify. And the word martyr has come to point specifically to the person who gives the ultimate testimony with their own life. Never straying, never denying, standing firm in the faith, no matter what happens. And they were commended for it. Jumping down to Hebrews 11, verse 13, followed by verse 16. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Faith. Faith such that their eyes were set on it. What was to come? With hearts longing for what would be. And they would not let go. Would hold on with such powerful hope. They just knew it was theirs. Though their eyes have never set upon it. Nor their hands never laid hold on it. They still knew it was theirs. And so they lived as strangers and sojourners on earth with affinities, their affinities set somewhere else in such a powerful attraction, super strong personal desire present with all of their ability, reaching out, grasping to take hold of what was to come, that heavenly promise of what will be. When the Lord, which the Lord is then preparing for them. Faith. This faith is what enabled Abraham to offer Isaac, testifying what was truly in Abraham's faith. The child that was promised. The child that the word of the Lord said, Abraham's offspring is numerous as the stars in the sky would come. Through this child, offer this Isaac. Sacrifice him. Faith enabled Abraham to walk those days towards Mount Moriah. Faith enabled Abraham to bring the fire, the kindling, the knife, and no animal to sacrifice as he walked with Isaac. To Isaac's inquiry, written about in Genesis 22, verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? To which faith And Abraham answers, Genesis 22, verse 8. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Faith. Faith. This is what makes doing church different than all entities on earth. This is what makes us different. Makes us, faith in Christ, different than many other churches too. We run on faith. We run on faith. This faith, as expressed by Abraham, God himself will provide. Or in Francis Schaeffer's words, Hudson Taylor said, the Lord's work done in the Lord's way will never fail to have the Lord's provision. The Lord's work done in human energy is not the Lord's work any longer. It is something different, but it is not the Lord's work. Let that sink in. The Lord will provide. Francis Schaeffer quoting and then adding his own words. Quoting Hudson Taylor, China Inland Missionary Society went to China to bring the gospel to China. Hudson Taylor said, the Lord's work done in the Lord's way will never fail to have the Lord's provision. And then Francis Schaeffer adds his own thoughts. The Lord's work done in human energy is not the Lord's work any longer. It is something, but it is not the Lord's work. Faith. That's what makes us different, because we run on faith here at Faith in Christ. And that's what is to make all churches different. They are not businesses. Businesses run on human energy. We, the church, run on faith. Faith! That is what makes us different than the world around us. Faith! This faith that the Lord the Father has inbirthed in us. Faith that we look to what is to come and so live as sojourners and strangers to this world. Take note of Moses' parents who refused to obey Pharaoh's edict of kill the children. Faith hid Moses. Faith placed Moses in a basket and let the waters of the Nile carry the Moses, the child, knowing that God was at work. Setting Moses adrift on the waters, knowing God was at work. Faith! Faith! Moses chose the people of God. Chose suffering, foregoing the lap of luxury and the seat of power. Faith placed the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintels. Faith delivered them on dry ground through the Red Sea. How is this faith working in you? Is faith fighting the ways of the world in you? Rahab was greeted by pounding doors with a message from the king of Jericho to bring out those men. Faith had Rahab hide the men disobeying the king. Faith tied the scarlet cord in the window and gathered her family in her home. Faith had Daniel defy the king and pray to the Lord, even though the lion's den with death awaited him for doing so. Faith had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing tall and unwilling to bend the knee to the golden idol, though the fiery furnace blazed before them. Faith said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You can read all about it. It's written in Daniel, the book of Daniel. Even if God did not deliver them, they would not bow down to the false gods. Faith was being expressed through their actions long before the Apostle Paul wrote these words as written in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure faith God has given you. Faith does not conform to this world. Faith conforms to the word of the living God in light of the promises and fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. How to have this faith? In the face of powers pushing you to conform with their thoughts and their ideology. Digress and disagree. You will be censored. Express your opposition to what is being taught, and you'll be labeled a domestic terrorist. Take a stand against the grooming and indoctrination of youth, and protect your child at a school board meeting, and you will have your home raided by the FBI, as has happened in Colorado. Never mind the so-called fact-checkers, for they are in on the bias and the censoring. Who checks the fact-checkers? And who certifies that the fact-checkers are not biased in the first place? So whenever you hear the news said, well, the fact-checkers say, throw that out the window in the garbage. The fact-checkers are no better than the news. How to have faith? Infused courage. Audacity to live as these heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. How to have that faith, especially the ones who faced earthly suffering, great suffering, and stayed. They stood steadfast in the faith. The how is in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, when you write a letter, and you're going to write a long letter to maybe your niece or nephew or a friend, do you start your letter by going chapter 1? And then you write a little bit, and then you write chapter 2. And you write some more in chapter 3. Most likely your missive just runs on many pages in one continuous letter. You don't divide your letter in chapters. That's how Hebrews was written. One long missive. The breakdown of chapters and verses was added recently when thinking in terms of history. The Latin Vulgate in the 12th century was the first to have chapter divisions, the chapter divisions we use today. Some manuscripts of the 4th century, they had a form of chapter divisions. 1551 was added the verse divisions in the Greek New Testament. In the first Bible translation to use both chapter and verse divisions, where they were designated, is the Geneva Bible of 1557. What we find in this chapter and verse designation, sometimes the chapter and verse designations come in the wrong place. They divide the thoughts. And so, well, that's chapter 11, this is chapter 12, the two are two different thoughts. No, they're one continuous. So this case, Hebrews 11 and Hebrews chapter 12, they flow together because the main thought of 11 actually comes in 12. Look at the flow of the message. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 as a bookend. Now faith is. This is what the ancients were commended for. That's how chapter 11 begins. Then we come to chapter 12, which starts with, therefore. Therefore. It's an emphatic expression of pay attention to what follows in light of what came before. That therefore. So you got to take account of what was said. All of that by faith of chapter 11 comes to this therefore that chapter Hebrews chapter 12 starts with. The first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12 are intrinsically tied to the content of Hebrews chapter 11, the by faith. In light of all that is said in Hebrews 11, by faith, the how to do and how to live is found in Hebrews 12, as Hebrews 12 begins. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As this cloud of witnesses, which is all those in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith have done, let us do. Let us do. Though it pulls you down, though it entangles you, throw all of that off. Throw off whatever pulls you down, entangles you, and instead rise up and run. How? How to do this? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That phrase, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, is one word in the Greek. Fix your eyes is one word in Greek. It's a compound word. Apo and horao. Apo and horao. Apo means away from. Apo, away from. Horao means to look upon, perceive, and discern. Horao also means to metaphorically to see with the mind, to spiritually see. So horeo also means spiritually see what's going on. When you add apo to horeo, the meaning now becomes look away from all else. Look away from all else so that all your attention, all your focus, all your gaze is now directed in one direction, no distractions, all attention, all focus is fixed on one thing. And that one thing is Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. How to live faith? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus on that one thing, Jesus. Summer of 1982, when I was on the staff at a Boy Scout camp, whenever I had free time, I would head down to the rifle range when the rifle range was open. Target practice with 22s had really captured my attention. Leather work and playing euchre would fill up my other free time when the rifle range was closed. Summer of 82, a nearby scout explorer post made available to the Boy Scout camp this special 22 target rifles with special sights built on them, sights that could be dialed in much better. Not magnified sights, but a different form instead of the notch in the notch at the one end and then the little thing sticking on the tip of the barrel at the other end. No, much better sights than that. So you could really dial it in. I began, and I was very determined, to score 50 points with the five shots. And score it in a close grouping. So determined that summer, midway through the summer, when I was home on a weekend, I had my mom go with me to the store so we could buy some 22 ammo. Because the surplus ammo, 22 ammo that was at the Boy Scout camp that they got Army surplus, it was old, and you could tell it was old. You could hear the difference between the new ammo I bought and the old surplus ammo. The report of the shot was distinctly different, louder, and more pronounced. I got to be pretty good. Actually good enough to earn NRA marksmanship medals in the prone and sitting positions. To get that great grouping in the center of the target to score 48, 49, or 50, which means they're all right there in that little hole. Everything. I had to focus, cast away all other thoughts, and just one thing focus on. Center of the target. One thing. One thing. To get that great grouping in the center of the target, I had to focus. Shut out all other distractions. Focus on the target. As I took account of my breathing, took account of everything, your pulse. You got to take account of your pulse too, about putting that shot in the center for 10 points. All five rounds, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 was my goal. I had to look away from all else and look only at the center of the target. All of me was focused on that center of the target. Apo horeo. One thing. Focus on one thing. And we are to focus on Jesus. That kind of focus, that kind of fixing the gaze so completely and totally on Jesus is what brings about resilient and steadfast faith. Couple that with setting all your being, all your thoughts, all your life on the heavenly things to come. That promise that is ours in Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. For we are simply sojourners on earth. Our home is heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fix this faith. Fix it so fully on Jesus. We will not grow weary. We will not lose heart. Martin Luther came to possess this kind of faith, such that he was able to stare down Emperor Charles V and all the power of Europe in the mid-1500s. Standing as defiant as Daniel, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were years earlier, knowing that death is likely to do so. They expected Luther to cave and recant. Luther stood steadfast. Faith enabled Luther to stand steadfast before all the power of Europe, declaring he is captive to the Word of God. That was then. And as then, now, the same dynamics are at work, bringing increasing challenges to daily life. Policies put in place guarantee that these challenges will increase more, as we've seen in the rule of law being set aside, with lawlessness of dual standards of justice coming from the highest offices in the land. As grooming of children increases with the power of government behind it. As narrative reigns more important than truth. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Much more beneath the surface lurks in the deep. Who through faith will respond as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as Luther? Who through faith will respond? That who is you? Be like Daniel. Be like a prophet of old of the Lord God from ages past, who through faith conquers, who by faith brings justice. As they suffered, you more than likely will suffer for doing so. Still do what is right. As they never gave up, you stay steadfast and you, through faith, do what is right. The you who Jesus Christ died on the cross to redeem and give eternal life. The you who Christ paid in full the redeeming price. Yes, you, this faith lives in you, as lived in those cloud of witnesses who've gone before. But the faith in you is the faith that is full of the promise has come. The faith in them was of the promise to come. For you, the faith in you, the promise has come. Jesus the Christ, crucified and risen Lord. And together we look for the heavenly home to come, that city that is prepared for us. In you lives faith. This faith, live with the joy of this faith, with your eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that you already possess the fulfillment of the promise. You already possess the fulfillment of the promise. Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. Faith. You are the ones to live out the faith in these days. Do so with courage. Do so with steadfastness. Do so no matter what the cost may be. As I said earlier, we, faith in Christ, we run on faith. Other churches run on activities of human energy. We run on faith. And this faith, God will provide. And you, my friends in Christ, live on this faith, full of joy, because you know you already possessed the promised land to come. Our heavenly home with the risen Christ, ascended Lord, now and forever, in the presence of Almighty God. It is yours. You have title to it already. It is yours by faith. Amen and amen.